verse that I want to look at is found in Romans chapter 6. And it's one verse just. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And it's really only one word in that one verse that I want to look at tonight. And you'd think, well, that shouldn't take many minutes. And hopefully I don't speak for many minutes, but I pray that God will impact us with the power of his word. And the word I want to focus on in Romans 6, verse 5, is often sung like this by the supporters of a well-known football team. And it goes, United, united. United is what we should be. So that's how it goes. United, united is what we should be. I won't get you to sing it. I've done it enough damage. But the word in verse 5, for if we have been united. And that's the word. But in this word are depths of meaning. Power and anointing. If the words of the Bible are calculated as they can be easily now, numerically, the center word is found in Isaiah 53, the word lamb. And that does seem to be the central theme of the Bible, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But if there's one word that brings out the gospel meaning, it's this word, united. This word only appears once in the whole of the Bible in this form. In the Greek, and I'm no expert, the word is sumphutos, and it means planted together. Only one place in the whole of the Bible, and here it is. Now, if God was only going to use a word once, I'd call that sparingly. It is only used once, and the meaning of this word is to be planted together with Christ, and it's a similar meaning to being grafted in. Grafted into God the Son. And I want to enjoy this sumphutos tonight, because there's so much in it. And so we'll just walk through it tonight, because you'll find that out from this comes so many other scriptures, and you'll start thinking, hey, I know another scripture that comes from that, another one and another one. But this is what they come from. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Could I ask for the slide, Steve? Oh, we've got it, brilliant. Someone thought that looked like Pierce Brosnan there, but that's the thief on the cross that gave his heart to Christ. Now, when you read the Gospels about the crucifixion, the way it reads is that Christ was crucified with two thieves either side. So, physically, the thieves were close by. They were all crucified with Christ. But we find something absolutely marvelous, because while the one thief on the right had been hurling abuse at Christ, the other thief started appealing to Jesus. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Christ's reply to him was, this day shall you be with me in paradise. Both thieves were crucified with Christ, but the repentant thief was crucified together with Christ. This is what Romans 6:5 is saying. He became united with God the Son at that point. Just like you and I, the day that we asked Jesus into our hearts, we became united with God the Son. Joined, grafted in to God the Son. Now, the marvelous thing is that that repentant thief, as far as we know, had never done a thing to make God pleased with him. And yet here, he's the first man that we can be certain has entered heaven. This day shall you be with me in paradise, was the promise of Christ. It wasn't a reward for anything he'd done. But his appeal to Christ was sufficient. This day, you shall be with me in paradise. And he was united to Christ. And this is the illustration of what happened to you and I when we asked Jesus, whether you were a child or whether it's been quite recent, when you asked Jesus into your life, Christ came into you, but you came into him. And this is where you were united together with Christ. Now, the marvelous thing about this is that everything that belongs to Christ, if you graft, and where I come from, somebody picked it up this morning, which county I come from, it's Worcestershire, the West Midlands, and I grew up with a lot of agriculture, and grafting of plum trees was going on all the time. And once you put a graft into a plum tree, you cannot prevent the sap from going through the graft and growing that graft to bear fruit. And when we were planted together with Christ, the riches and the power of his life cannot be prevented from going through you and I. We are joint heirs. And now you find the scriptures start to come, because you can find loads of them. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Him together with Christ in God. He was joined to the Lord as once. And you start to find all these scriptures flowing, but they flow out of this word, somphutos. When we were grafted into God the Son, all his life started to flow through us. But often we look around for it and we can't find it. If only I felt powerful. And that's not how it works. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, Paul says. And as we hold to the head, we find the life starts to flow. Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is. So that's where we must be, projecting ourselves into the presence of God. Because we're not separate from him anymore. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not depression, not despair, not hopelessness, not even the habits and the history, the things that we do and think. Once we've received Christ into our heart, we've been grafted into him. This is the security of the believers. I've got friends over in Portugal where we go to help our church over there who really struggle with this. Because on a good day they feel in Christ and on a bad day they feel out. But we're not called to follow our feelings. We're called to follow the facts. And the feelings will follow if we put our faith in the facts. And this is the fact. The day you ask Christ into your heart, you were grafted into God the Son. And all the power and the anointing of Christ Jesus and his goodness started to pass through us and through each one of us. And as we see ourselves in the presence of God, Paul said that we are presented holy and blameless before him in love. Now that's not on a good day. That's every day. Even before we've woken up, we are presented holy and blameless before the Father in love. And the Father is waiting for us to stand on that truth and to declare it. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves and hear from our own mouths, I am presented holy and blameless before him in love. Why? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of God are we in Christ Jesus. So it was something that God did. When Christ was crucified, he saw down the time, down the years, who would become a believer. And he put each of one of those together, crucified together with Christ. So united is a fact. And it goes on to say, together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be of his resurrection. There are words in italics that have been put in there to help us get understanding of this verse. But if we've shared the likeness of his death, we shall certainly be of his resurrection. This is another point that sometimes people feel, oh, I don't know if I'll be good enough to enter heaven. But the moment that you were grafted into God the Son, heaven was a certainty for you. This is what Romans 6:5 is saying. It's a certainty. And once we start to get hold of that, the Apostle John says, as he is in heaven, so are we on earth. We're joined to the Lord by one spirit. He's our living head. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And as we begin to realize this and speak it, I used to have a men's group, and we used to confess the word every Monday night. And we used to speak to each other in a circle, the word of God to each other. And I'd speak the word to that man, and that man would speak to me. And we used to build each other up, edify each other in the word of God. Because the word performs its work in those who believe. When we were in Christian work down in South Wales, I had a friend called Jeff, who was a bin man. And sometimes I'd go in to visit Jeff. And when I knocked on his door and he opened it, he'd say, Nigel, you son of the living God, you're anointed with power from on high. He's a Welshman, you see. You're blessed with every blessing in every place, as he'd say. And he would speak these blessings to me. And I would feel so good going around Jeff's house because I was blessed with the word of God, blessed with the truth. And it performs its work in those who hear and believe it. And that's the way it was with our men's confession group. The guys loved it. And they would come back faithfully every week with no pressure because they felt good about themselves, just like I felt when Jeff used to bless me. So, out from this truth, crucified together with Christ, which is something God did, it's not something I have to yet do by denying myself and by beating myself up. It's something God did. And I have to accept it as a fact. Believe it and start to live in the good of it and in the power of it. Because I am grafted into God the Son. And his life flows through me. And I can take hold by faith of the power that's in the name of Jesus. There were two sons who lived in the back streets of Paris. And Often, sons can be very different in the same family. And the dad was almost despairing of the younger son because he was forever in trouble. The older son tried to please his dad, but the younger son didn't seem to care. Always in one form of trouble after another. And the father was coming to the end of his life, and he said to the older son, "Do what you can to keep your brother out of trouble for me." And shortly after, he died. And the younger son carried on, causing mayhem, getting into trouble. And then one day, he came to his elder brother's apartment, beating on the street door, came in, up the stairs, beating on the front door of the apartment, and then when he made his way into the flat, he had blood on his clothes. And his older brother said, "What have you done?" He said, "I've killed a man, and the police are right behind me." So when the police arrived and came into the apartment, they saw the blood on the clothes and they took away the murderer. And off he was tried and went to prison. And sometime later, his brother came to visit him. And he said, through the bars, "Why did you do it? Why did you change clothes with me before the police arrived?" And the elder brother who'd been arrested said, "Father asked me to try and keep you out of trouble. And I've taken the blame for you. But I want you to remember that I'm the one that took your punishment so that you could go free." And so the younger brother wore his elder brother's clothes and enjoyed the freedom and the liberty that didn't belong to him, but rightly belonged to his elder brother who was serving the sentence. And that's a poor symbolism of what Christ has done for you and I. Because Christ bore the punishment for the things that we've done, so that we could wear his clothes of righteousness, and he bear our sin. And so, as the younger brother in this story remembered his older brother in prison, it had the right effect on him of keeping him out of trouble. And as we remember, Christ suffered for us and bore our sin so that we could wear his clothes of righteousness. But Christ rose again and is seated at the right hand of God, and he wears clothes of glory, and we wear his clothes of righteousness, and we have access to the heavenly places through his righteous clothes. We have been made righteous with his righteousness. Which mighty, isn't it? We have this living way, this new and living way. And it all comes from sum fructus. This was a revelation to Paul. Peter stood and looked at the cross and didn't understand this. And it was sometime later, we find it in Galatians, where Peter begins to understand that he was crucified together with Christ. But Paul didn't invent this. It was revealed to him that our lives were terminated. When Christ came into our heart, he came in with a new life for us to stop living the old life and begin to live the new. Galatians Galatians 3:20 says, "For you were crucified together with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." All these scriptures start to come in through united, and we are united together with Christ. We have the certainty of resurrection. We have the certain hope of heaven. We have the present encouragement of the power of the risen Christ in our hearts. All has been made available through the grafting in to God the Son. But I think so often we need to encourage ourselves and encourage each other to be who God says we are. There are no specials in God's kingdom. We're all special. We each have all of his love. Crucified together with Christ. The mercy and the grace of Christ that came for each one of us. To put an end to our sinful lives and to give us the likeness of his resurrection. That's that Easter breath that comes into us when we ask Jesus, "Come into my heart." The likeness of his resurrection. It's a powerful word. There are depths of experience and discovery, but it's all in that word united, because that's where we are tonight, united with the Son of God, united with the Trinity. You'll hear in a lot of denominations, they wouldn't dare to say words like these, but this is the gospel truth, that when a man or a woman receives Christ, they are grafted into God the Son and made alive together with him. I'd just like to close in prayer, and then we're going to move into the time of communion. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Father, for unfolding your word to us tonight. Father, we pray that something that's been said will be made alive to us, Father. Father, in your grace, quicken a word or a thought or a picture, a revelation, Lord, that it will find a place in our hearts and breathe new life into who we are. We thank you, Father, for the precious promises you've made to us, that you want us to share in the divine nature, as you said through Peter. So, Father, we come, we put our finger on that word, united. And, Father, we receive a fresh supply of the Spirit of Christ and a fresh awareness and revelation of being united with the risen Christ. And, Father, we pray to walk in a new way with him through this coming week. Father, make your word live to us, we pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.